Hello, everybody, and happy Sunday. So glad you could gather together with me today. We are started clear back in October, and we're plowing through it. And today, we're in John chapter 12, and I want to read a story for you in a message I've entitled One Crazy Dinner Party, and you'll see why in just a moment. But let's read the first 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived in Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with Jesus. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, and this name for an expensive perfume, but whatever, it works for them. She poured it on the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. So that's some crazy expensive perfume. He did not say this because he cared for the poor, though, but because he was a thief. He was the keeper of the money bag, and he used to leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Wow, what a crazy dinner party. Mark's version of this story, it was actually held at the home of a guy named Simon the Leper. Now that makes it a little bit of an unusual dinner party right off the bat. Add to that that a formerly dead guy named Lazarus was there. Jesus had just this dinner party. And I don't know about you, but I would have all kinds of questions if a formerly dead guy showed up at a dinner party I was at. I would have wanted to ask him, hey, did you see your grandpa on the other side? Was there a bright light that we're all going to have to follow? Are you mad at Jesus for bringing him? Hey, has it dawned on you, buddy, that you're going to have to die again? That's a little bit of a bummer. I would have all these questions, but none of those are recorded in Scripture. But back to this dinner party, to top it all off, a woman named Mary pours it with her hair. Now, you don't see that every day. So let's take a closer look at this dinner party, because there are three things that I'd like to draw all of our attention to. The leper, the kindness, and the love. This guy that was referred to as Simon the Leper, because we will quickly realize we have a lot to learn from him. First of all, Simon probably didn't have leprosy at the time of this dinner party, because if he did, people would have been highly unlikely would contract this disease, which was very, very contagious. Many theologians believe that Simon was actually the leper that Jesus healed in Matthew chapter 8, and I agree. And when you think about it, this is so cool, because here is a guy that used to exist in isolation. Never was he invited. He was never touched. He was never hugged. He was always having to walk down the street and yell, unclean, unclean, so people could switch sides of the street and stay away from him. Leprosy is a cruel disease. It not only afflicts the body, but what is he doing now? He is hosting this dinner party, which shows us something. When God brings healing into our lives, the healing is never complete until community. You've probably read the works of Margaret Mead. She's observed people's behaviors all over the world. And at one point, she was observing some tribes in Africa, and she discovered they did the most amazing thing in these tribes. If a person committed a crime in either of these tribes, they treat them as like an emotional leper, so to speak. Instead, they believe that the person committed a crime as a sign of distress, as a cry for help, so to speak. So the villagers would take the perpetrator and encircle them and speak to them about their goodness and restoring them back into community. How great is that? I love that. These people knew that people can't be healed and whole apart from community. And Simon got to discover this firsthand. He was a leper that had been healed. He was still referred to as Simon the Leper. The disease was gone, but the label stuck to him. That's such a bummer, but that's how labels work. So often people are known for the worst thing they did. their name is followed by a label, like Joe the screw-up, or Susie the addict, or Bill the divorcee, or Wendy the imposter, etc., etc. And when we hear these labels long enough, we start to think to ourselves, well, maybe this label is actually who I am. And then we start to live out those labels. It is so sad, but it doesn't have to be like that. There's a story in the book of 1 Chronicles, I'm sure you're, but it's a story of about a guy named Jabez. When he was born, his mom said, "I bore him in pain." So evidently that delivery didn't go too well. So she gave him the name Jabez, which literally means pain. So she named her son Pain. No, well, Jabez grew up and he didn't want to be known as Pain or the Pain. So he prayed this amazing prayer to God that's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. This is the prayer. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. That last line of that prayer is from harm so that I can be free from pain. He is actually asking God to set him free from the label that has been placed on him since birth. And God granted his request. And we can tell that God, when Jabez grew up, he wasn't referred to as pain. He was referred to with another label, honorable, a much better label. That's how God rolls, though. God loves to relabel us. God replaces the negative labels that have been applied to us with labels from him, labels like God or friend, or one of my favorites from Genesis 1, gooder than good. And these labels from God make up our true identity, our true name. Now, I know that other things, but that's not really what matters, is it? It's not what people call us that matters. It's what we answer to that matters. So let's choose to answer to the labels, to the names that God has given us out. And that's what Simon did. Now let me explain why I just said that last sentence. There is a famous legend about Simon. We can't prove its authenticity, but I believe with my whole heart that it's this medieval text called the Golden Legend, and it contains quite a story. It states that after the resurrection of Jesus, this man, once referred to as Simon the leper, hopped in a boat and traveled to France. When he got there, he changed his name to Julian, which is the city of Le Mans. The legend says he was famous for a couple of reasons, and this is where the story gets really cool. The first reason he was famous is because he had raised 3 people from the dead. I don't know why he stopped at 3, but you go, Simon. But secondly, and check this out, this is the best part, he was famous for always hosting travelers and strangers in his own home. Oh my goodness, this is great. The leper, the isolated one, becomes the healer. The leper became Julian, and he lived out his true name, and we can too. Now let's move on to the second part of this message, the kindness. We all want to be part of something that endures, something that lasts. Some people like a park or a bridge or even a cocktail, but that's usually reserved for rich and famous folks. How can us normal folks be part of something that is enduring? The answer is actually found in Mark's version of the story we read. Mary had done this profound act of kindness to Jesus, anointing him with oil and wiping it with her own hair. But check out what Jesus says about this act of kindness in Mark chapter 14, verse 9. He says this, "I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, told in memory of her." And that's true. That has happened. It's been 2,000 years since this dinner party took place, and we're still talking about Mary's kindness, which shows us something. Kindness is forever true in my life. I can remember the acts of kindness that people have done for me. I remember one particular time I was going in for my first surgery. I had a hernia surgery. I've had two, but during my first hernia surgery, I was freaked out. I had my body cut into. I was completely freaked out by the whole experience. As I'm wheeled into the recovery room, I'm starting to come out of the fog of anesthesia, but that foggy state triggered my anxiety because I didn't. And all of a sudden, I saw a face above me leaning over my bed, and it was a person from the church I worked at. She was a nurse, but I wasn't even her patient. She didn't even work on that floor, but she came to check in on me. And as soon as I recognized her, I reached up my hand to her in my freaked out state, and I was so pathetic. But she didn't make fun of me. She didn't mock me. She didn't do any of that. She just took my hand and comforted me and told me, it's going to be okay. You'll come out of the anesthesia. Your surgery went well. It's going to be okay. And she just signed, and I've never forgotten it, and I never will. Or how about this? I was watching this video the other day, just this random video, and it showed this blind woman in India, and she was walking at an outdoor train station, was tugging at her hand and everything, and he got too close to the railroad tracks, and which were about 4 feet down off of the platform, and he fell over onto the tracks. The blind woman is going, son, but she can't see him and she can't reach him, and the son can't get back up onto the platform, and he's freaking out. And suddenly a complete stranger, this young guy, probably about 30 years old, sprints down the railroad tracks, gets to the son, tosses him up to his mother, about a 4 foot little ledge onto the platform himself, seconds, just literally seconds before a train whizzes by. Both of them would have been killed if he hadn't done that. The government found him a reward, and what did he do? He gave it to the little boy for his future schooling. Who does that? Do you ever think this mom and son will forget this act of kindness? Not a chance. No way. In fact, I truly believe our acts of kindness will actually echo into eternity. They'll be a part of the fabric of heaven somehow. So we may never have a park or a stadium or even a drink named after us, but we're longer than that. Kindness. I want to end this little point with some quotes. You know I love quotes. I use them in almost all of my sermons, but I want to share two today that have to do with kindness. The first is from the mystic poet, makes God's qualities visible. How great is that? The second is from J.R.R. Tolkien of Lord of the Rings fame. And he says this, I have found that it is the small everyday deeds of ordinary folks that keep the darkness and love. So how great is that? Not only is kindness forever, it also shows the people around us what God looks like, and it drives away the darkness that is so prevalent in our world. Now let's move on to the last point, the love. You know, loving people is difficult. It's hard enough to love people, but allowing other people to love us, to display their love and affection, even in public without flinching people. But in the verses we read today, Jesus is actually modeling how to be loved, because he allowed Mary to anoint his feet and wipe them with her hair, a public display of great kindness. 5 days after Jesus let Mary display her love and affection for him, Jesus is at the Last Supper, and he's gathered with some of his disciples, and Mary would have been one of them, because she was referred to as a person who sat at the feet of Jesus. That's what they called disciples at the time. Meaning of the Last Supper, which totally bugs me, she should be, because she would have been there. In fact, this church has a bunch of paintings of the Last Supper in the hallway, and I might draw a stick figure character of Mary and put it on one of the paintings someday, because women would have, she just wasn't listed in the story, which is sad. But they're at this dinner, they're at this Last Supper, and at the end of the supper, Jesus ties this towel around his waist, takes a basin of water and washes the dusty crust of Mary. So, now please catch this. Jesus became what he received. That's what happened there. That's how it works. Hurt people tend to hurt others. Forgiven people tend to forgive others. And love let himself be loved by Mary. And that love empowered him to love the people around him. After the foot washing, Jesus told the disciples, "I give you a commandment that you love one another." Now, we always hear that as a command to go out there and be loving. Just go out there and command to be loving, and that's great. But it's also a command to receive love as well, because these disciples wouldn't have been able to love one another unless they were also willing to receive love from one another. Because in receiving love, love expands and grows and picks up steam in the world. It's so great. But there's a teensy problem here. Some of us feel unworthy of being loved. We think to ourselves, well, I'm not capable enough to be loved. So we resist letting people love us. Hopefully this will help us to not think like that. There are different kinds of love. The Bible mentions four different kinds. There's sexual love, there's a friendship love, and there's what the Bible calls agape love. Agape love is unconditional love. Agape love isn't, I love you because. Agape love is, I love you as you exist. I love you no matter what, and it's not dependent on your behavior. Agape love is how God loves all of us. Listen to what one author says about agape love. This is brilliant. Agape love doesn't love someone because they are worthy, the strength and power of its love. Agape love doesn't love someone because they are beautiful. Agape love loves in such a way that actually makes them beautiful. Don't you see? Agape love for us has forever validated us. It stamps us all with a seal of approval over our lives that says three words, worthy of love. We can all believe that true. We can risk loving other people, and we can risk being loved by other people. Linda's going to come up and make some announcements, and then Jimmy's going to read a poem that later on will be put on our website of Scripture. Have a glorious week. God bless you.